Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Well, I got the jacket on today. Before I get started, I just want to give some kudos to Pastor Elias, because this jacket's getting a little tight. So his always fit real well, and this one's getting a little snug, so it still fits, though. If y'all open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm going to jump into the Word here. Got a couple of verses for you. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was laying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, 'Here I am.'" Verse 5. "And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me?' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lay down.' So when he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me?' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.'" Verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down. And if he calls, you say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening."' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.'" Verse 11. "And the Lord said to, verse 10. "The Lord came and stood there calling as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle.'" If you jump over to 2 Kings chapter 21. Second Kings chapter 21, verse 7. We read here in the Bible, there's a king, Manasseh, who is a ruler of Jerusalem, the king of Judah at the time. And we find him here, and it says in verse 7, it says, "He took the carved Asherah pole he had made and put it in the temple, of which the Lord had said to David and his sons and his son Solomon, 'In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites wander from the land I gave their forefathers, if only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them and will keep the whole law that my servant Moses gave them.'" In verse 9 says, "But the people did not listen. The king led them astray," King Manasseh led them astray, "so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. And the Lord said through his servants, the prophets, 'Manasseh, king of Judah, has committed these detestable sins. He has done more evil than the Amorites who preceded him and has led Judah into sin with his idols. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says: I am going to bring such disaster on Jerusalem and Judah that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. And if you bear with me and jump over to Jeremiah 19, Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 1. Jeremiah 19, verse 1. The Bible reads, this is what the Lord says. And this is God speaking to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Go and buy a clay jar from a potter. Take along some of the elders of the people and of the priests, and go out to the valley of Ben Hinnom, near the entrance of the potsherd gate. There proclaim the word I tell you, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and people of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring a disaster on this place that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. For they have forsaken me and made this a place of foreign gods. The tingle of his voice. The tingle of his voice. That's what I want to talk to you guys about today. The tingle of his voice. In these Bible verses that we're reading here, God is speaking to Samuel and the people of Jerusalem and Jeremiah. And to follow with what we've been sharing in church the last few weeks about obedience and really responding and giving our hearts to God. These Bible stories, we find kind of the other side of things. And the dictionary defines tingle as a feeling, a thrilling sensation, as to hear a shrill sound, to feel a sharp pain, a slight prickling sensation, to produce a quiver. And in the first passage that we read in 1 Samuel, Samuel responds to the voice of God. But instead of going to God, he goes to Eli. And this doesn't happen once, it doesn't happen twice, it happens repeatedly. And isn't it just like us to be attracted or drawn to something we shouldn't be? To be drawn to something we shouldn't be and not even realize it. That's what stood out to me in this Bible passage, is that Samuel is responding to the word of God, and he isn't in a bad way going to Eli and saying, here I am. Because he doesn't know any better. He doesn't even realize that it's God. And sometimes we do things in our lives and we get so caught up in them that we don't even realize what we're doing. And as it is over and over, after repeatedly getting nowhere in our lives, we finally recognize God. The one true voice that has been calling us all along, only as it was with Samuel, we didn't choose God at first. And God's voice is something we should choose to listen to, and not something that is heard out of desperation or because we're running out of choices. If his voice tingles, It's because of us and not because of him. There's a quarter right here. I don't know if y'all are are aware of what I do, or but currently I'm attending school full time as in a PTA program, a physical therapy program. And over the last few weeks, we've been working with eSTEM. eSTEM are these machines. You put patches on your body, and you turn it on, and it delivers a current, and it's supposed to be therapeutic. And there's different types of eSTEM. There's eSTEM that make your muscles move, and there's some that you barely feel it. And there's for different purposes. They even have eSTEM that is for to deliver drugs. Sometimes some people their body doesn't function so well with needles or their digestion system, so they deliver them via patches through electric current. It's pretty neat. Just going off on my nerdy tangent there, but one thing that we learned is that eSTEM produces a tingle. And we are instructed to educate our patients. And we do so for two reasons. Because if we turn on the eSTEM too fast, yeah, and that happens. Even after our teachers tell us not to do it. Get a kick or a jerk or a cuss word or something. Something happens. Something silly happens. I don't know. That's one response. And then our second response is that when you apply it the way you're supposed to go back and check with the patient to see how they feel. You see, if you leave it on a lower setting, the patient has the likelihood of getting used to it. And so they feel it at first, but 5 minutes pass or 10 minutes pass, and they no longer feel it. And so the body gets accommodated or used to this feeling. And the tingle of God's voice was due to the people not listening and being led astray. You see, the first reaction happened. When you hear God's voice, you're not used to it, and so you react in a way that your self-defense mechanism kicks in, and you don't listen to it, or you don't respond well to it. You knee-jerk, or your shoulder flies up in the air, or something slips out of your tongue, and as opposed to you being used to the feeling. And if you do it just right and you apply the patches where they go, and you turn it on nice and slow, it feels good. Oh, yeah, it feels good. Shoulder pain starts to go away. And you welcome that feeling. And here in these Bible passages, God talks about our ears tingling. Not because of his voice, but because of the way we react to it. And many times we tend to listen to ourselves more than we listen to God. It's not so much that God's voice tingles, it's that it's not what we want to hear. And that's why it tingles. And many times we become so wrapped up in ourselves, we don't even notice how off key we are. there's days that when I come on Sunday and I'm there sitting down and Michelle's up here and Matt's up here and the worship team's up here and they're doing their thing. And I think it's in those times when I'm kind of on my own that I tend to get a little off key. You know, sometimes I clap off beat or I shout too high and I can hear my voice crackle, you know. Sometimes we get into worship and we don't even care how off beat we are or how off key we sing. You know, it just happens. We don't realize it. And that's how our faith gets sometimes. Sometimes we get off key and we don't even realize it. And when our faith gets a little sidetracked, when we get back on track, it tingles a little bit. Because it means we got to change a little bit. Whatever we got caught up doing, we need to stop doing that and live righteously. And it tingles. Sometimes it bothers us. I made a few notes here. It says the truth is that our voice is important because if not, God wouldn't have given us one. And I wrote that down because in life we all need to find our voice. And our voice, our true voice, is a unique message from God. But finding our voice, not being off key, starts with hearing his voice. As to not cause a tingle. The tingle of his voice is all about obedience, choices, willingness to manifest the plan of joy and to love God. And allow the love of God to flow through our lives and prosper. Obedience, choices, and willingness. Because if you aren't willing to listen to everything that God has to say, we eventually don't hear anything he has to say. And that's scary. And more times than not, what we want to hear the least is what he has to say. And what we want to hear the least is it's really what we need to hear the most. And the tingle of his voice can cause us to quiver because in the depths of our soul, we know we are sinners. But don't let the fact that we are sinners keep you from Jesus. Let it be the reason that we're drawn to him. It's who we are, and it's okay. Don't run from it. Don't run from God. Run to him. I was reading a book. I found some me time, and I got a book, and in the opening part of the book, it was talking about a doctor. His name is Dr. Tomatis. I'm not too sure how you pronounce it, but Dr. Tomatis. He has this theory that developed from something that he found out. It's called the Tomatis effect. And this doctor was treating a patient, a very famous opera singer. A very famous opera singer that all of a sudden lost his ability to sing his high notes. couldn't reach his high notes that opera singers are famous for. And this opera singer went to go see him and to see what was going on. And they did some studies, and the doctor had never really seen it, and he went and he went and researched on his own and did it, his thing, just to kind of get a better understanding of what was going on. And in his findings, he found out that opera singers produce sound waves at a decibel that is higher than that of a jet. I thought that was pretty interesting because jets are pretty loud. And after continued studies, the doctor was finally able to diagnose this opera singer's problem, what he went in to go see. And Dr. Tomatis diagnosed the opera singer . The book says here that he diagnosed the opera singer that he was deafened by the sound of his own voice. I read that and that was pretty crazy. The guy sang so high and so loud that he deafened his own voice. And the interesting part about it is that he couldn't sing his high notes because his voice had made him deaf. And because he was deaf, he became mute. His selective muteness was caused by his selective deafness. In other words, if you can't hear the note, you can't sing the note. And the voice could only produce what the ear could hear. I'm going to say that again. The voice could only produce what the ear could hear. And we're talking about the tingle of his voice, of God's voice. And the dictionary defines voice as the sounds and words made by someone using their vocal cords. And the dictionary also defines a whisper as the sounds and words made by someone not using their vocal cords, just their breath. I'm not using my vocal cords. It's a whisper. And this is my voice. Well, what am I getting to? If you jump to Genesis chapter 1, your voice and your whisper, as it relates to the tingle of his voice. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we're all familiar with Genesis chapter 1. God creates the earth and the day and the night and the animals. And in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creation that move along the ground." And I kept on reading, and I came upon this not so familiar or not so famous verse. If you jump over to chapter 2, verse 7, I thought this was really interesting, because we know about how God created the earth, and he created man and the birds and the land and the water and the night and the day, and on the seventh day. The eighth day? The ninth day? The seventh day? He rested? Yeah? Something like that? Right? We're all familiar with it, right? But in chapter 2, verse 7, The Bible reads, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being." And so I jump back to this story because the man could not sing because he could not hear, yet his voice was so powerful that it's considered to be more powerful than a jet. And here we have God with just his breath. With just his breath. You have man with a voice more powerful than a jet, and God with just his breath creating life. And the beauty of all this is that a man's voice can be louder than a jet, but yet God's voice, his whisper, his breath can create, can forgive, and can restore. I'm going to ask Michelle and Ronnie if they'll come up. Our technology gurus in the back, if they can get that song ready that I asked them to get ready. Don't play it yet, but I'll let you know when. The tingle of his voice. It's a lot of information. God just fascinates my mind, my soul, my spirit. I'm very privileged and humbled to share it with you. The tingle of his voice. I want to close with a prayer. It's a very short prayer, but in fact, it's only 7 words. But it's from the Word of God. And if his whisper, if his breath can create life and can forgive and can restore, his words can do the unimaginable. It's what we read about throughout the Bible. Mountains move. The sun stands still. The waters part. The power of God. And I pray that the tingle of his voice not be something that we run away from, but something that we go to. What we produce with our voice, with our actions, is ultimately a result of what we hear, what we see, what we surround ourselves with. In essence, it's a spiritual tomatoes effect. We take this doctor's theory and we apply it to our relationship with God. When we put our voice before God's, when we put our actions before the actions of Jesus Christ, his voice will cause a tingle in our lives that we won't react to very well. But when we put his voice before ours, when we put the actions of Jesus Christ before ours, his voice can cause a thrill, an excitement like no other. Overflowing with power to change and influence not only our lives, but the lives of those around us. Church, I have this bold prayer for all of us this morning. This isn't about the person to the left or the person to the right of you. So I'm going to ask you, there where you're at, if you can just close your eyes, you can bow your heads. The tingle of his voice. And there where you're at, if you're willing to pray this prayer, I'm going to do things a little different. I encourage you, if you're willing to pray this prayer, to stand where you are in faith, not knowing yet what the prayer is. Wow. If you're willing to pray this prayer, I encourage you to stand where you are in faith, not knowing what the prayer is. And if you feel compelled to come to the altar, by all means, the tingle of his voice. The tingle of his voice. We continue forward in this year, a year of obedience and taking the land. Let our obedience be an obedience that is directed towards God and not ourselves. That we take the land in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of ourselves. So that when we hear his voice, it doesn't cause a tingle, but an excitement. That we get to know his voice, that we get to know his whisper. I'm going to pray this prayer, and I'm going to ask Casey if she'll play the song after. Thank you, Jesus. The tingling of his voice. Bible says in 1 Samuel that Samuel went to Eli and told Eli, "Here I am," and nothing happened. He had to go back from where he came, and it happened over and over. Got nowhere. Many times that happens in our lives. We get nowhere fast. Finally called out and replied to God, it's when everything started to happen. And here's the prayer. There where you're at, every eye closed, there where you're at. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.
This is a picture of a scene that is going to take place someday in heaven at the throne of God. You see, you can't change your past,
But you can determine your destiny by deciding for Christ. And when you do that, Christ changes your past. He wipes out all the sins of the past.
If you gotta start somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I'll say here. If we gotta start sometime, I'll say now.
Choose you this day, not tomorrow, this day, whom you're going to serve. And many of you are going to have to decide tonight what is the number one priority in your life. All the way through the Bible, choices, 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 choices.
Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints to wear.
Tonight, he's willing to come into your heart and change the direction of your life and give you a peace and a joy that you've never known before. And the people ask me why I continue to preach. And I answer, because the word of the Lord has come unto me. And he tells me to go and proclaim his gospel as long as I have breath.
Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. Focus.
Message of repentance, yet the people of Nineveh believed his message. And the Bible says that the greatest revival, the greatest evangelistic campaign in the history of the world took place in Nineveh. It was a city probably of 600,000 people, and the whole city from the king on down repented.
Oh, tonight couldn't last forever. We all want joy strong together.
And God had mercy upon not only the king, but all the people, and all the people were saved. That could happen here.
Tonight's the night for the sinners and the saints to welcome in the glorious display. Cause it's all love tonight. When we step across the line, we can sail across the sea to a city.
There's somebody here worthy. He is the lion, the root of David, has prevailed to receive a new heart from him. I ask you to come tonight. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat all over this great auditorium and come and stand quietly and reverently here in front as an indication that you're receiving Christ, that you want a new heart and a new life from this moment on, that you're going to change the direction of your life. The Holy Spirit has been speaking. He's been preparing your heart. Now you come and receive Christ.
Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. I believe God had an amazing revelation through the life of Billy Graham. And I truly believe at the beginning of his journey in sharing God's message. Billy Graham made a choice. And he took his ear, and he took his heart, and he took his soul. And he went back to the beginning, to the very first voice that was ever heard. The breath of God. I believe that's what God's doing for us today. He did it during worship, to surrender our hearts. But we need direction, church. We need direction, and we have to listen to the voice of God. And the more we listen, the less it will tingle. And the more it will excite us and empower us to overcome the struggles and the circumstances in our lives and in the lives around us. So we close with worship. Let your soul and your heart cry out. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. From the depths of your heart, speak, Lord. Here I am. Your servant is listening.